Hallelujah. Well, tomorrow's Christmas Eve. Next day's Christmas. I don't normally, on purpose, tailor the messages to holidays, you know, or anything. Father's Day, there's no telling. you know, just whatever I hear by the Spirit. But it was the strangest thing today, as I was listening for this service, I kept going to Luke chapter 2, which is the Christmas story. So go ahead and go there for a minute. And we're just going to look at that. I used to think that Christmas was the most important day in the history of man, or the history of the world. Now I think it's the third most important day. Yes. You know, the first most important day is the day Jesus was resurrected from the dead. For years I didn't understand that because the denomination I grew up in was so cross-focused. We focused on the cross. And so to me, for years I thought, either the birth of Jesus or the crucifixion, but really, if the resurrection had not happened, then the cross would not have gotten the job done. See, and if the resurrection had not happened, the birth of Jesus, if he hadn't been raised from the dead, we'd still be lost. So the first most important day is the resurrection day. Second is the cross, I believe. But none of those could have happened without the birth of Jesus. Over the years, as I've understood better the born-again trail and really understood what's happened to us, I never did really doubt the virgin birth, but to me it wasn't like, who was it that said, choose the mountain you're going to die on, you know? It wasn't like one of those doctrines that that's where I would fight to the death, and now I would. If he was not born of a virgin, we're all lost, and Christianity is nothing. He was just a man that couldn't save us either. He had to be born of a virgin. We're going to see that a little clearer as we go tonight. So it's amazing how, as time goes on, even though the world and religion is doing everything it can to water down the Word of God or make it like it doesn't apply at all, it's funny, the more time you spend with the Holy Ghost, the more foundational it becomes, the more solid. It becomes the only thing really in this life that I can cling to. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, you know. And standing on the promises. I'd sing them, but you don't want me to. But anyway. So let's start in Luke chapter 2. I just want to read the story. It won't take very long. And then, believe it or not, we're going to read the Christmas story out of John chapter 1. Oh yeah, it's there. Took a long time for the Holy Ghost to show me, but it is. But here it is. Luke chapter 2 describes the birth of the Savior. So we'll just start in Luke 2 verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. And when 8 days are accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Now let's go ahead and read the story of Simeon and Anna here. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spoke of him to whom all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned unto Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth. Okay, now we could just continue. Isn't it wonderful? Christmas has become now in America so commercialized, and so it's so, you know, so little mention of Christ, and they want to take, well, it's amazing to me that they want to take the name Christ out of Christmas, you know? Oh, it's just happy holidays, you know, like, it doesn't matter, you know? No, it's Christmas. The birth of Christ. Now, whether he was actually born on December 25th or not, to me, is irrelevant. What matters is he was born. The Savior was born. And I've loved that story from a child, and I've been to all kinds of pageants, and some of them, you know, they had live donkeys and camels, and, you know, thank God for all of that. But it wasn't until coming to this church and really going down the born-again trail with Pastor Dave as he taught us. And again, I'm going to just remind you, whether you're watching or around the world, whether you're here, if you have not heard those 6 volumes, 10 lessons in each volume by Pastor Dave Roberson called The Born Again Trail, you really don't have anything else to do. I mean, you can go to university, you can study, you can go to seminary, I always have trouble with that word. I'm telling you, I don't know anywhere else you can go and find the truth of God laid out for you, line upon line, precept upon precept, like in that series. I intend, one of my New Year's resolutions, and this is Christmas, next week is New Year, I want to listen to all 60 of them again myself. Because as you grow, I'll be honest with you, as you grow, you can receive more. You can only receive what you can receive where you are. But as you understand more, then, you know, your revelation wall becomes higher. And something he said that maybe just didn't really register, you go, when did they add this to this message? That's one of the things I intend to do. Well, getting back to the Christmas message, I kept hearing this passage in Luke 2 and the corresponding verse that I would hear with it. Now, I think we're through at Luke 2. You can don't have to stay, leave a marker there, but go to 1 Corinthians 15 just for a moment. See, the problem with the human race, let's say it another way, the problem with the seed of Adam, the problem with the species of Adam is not really sin. Sin is the fruit of the problem. What is the problem, church? The problem with man is that he's spiritually dead. He's dead. The light went out. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. But that light went out when Adam sinned. And exactly what God had said, the day that you eat the fruit thereof, and that day you'll surely die. Well, we know physically they lived for like 900 and some odd years. But spiritually, they died. The light went out. Now notice this verse. For years, I almost thought, I remember the first time I looked this verse up because I thought it was a misprint. It's 1 Corinthians 15. Look at verse 21. It says, for since by man came death. Now, I didn't have a problem with that. Since by man came death. Who's that? That's Adam. Okay, I didn't have any problem with that. For since by man came death, and right there where it says by man came also the resurrection from the dead, I wanted them to put, well, wait a minute, that's Jesus. You know, Jesus is God. Wait a minute. What do you mean by man? But that's what it says. I remember the first time I looked it up, I thought that must be a misprint because, you know, Jesus is more than a man. I mean, you know. But look what it says. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Look at the next verse. For as in, just make sure you couldn't miss who he's talking about. For as in Adam, all die. Even, how many die? There's no, I hope we get it straight. There is no hope for the human race. The human race cannot be saved. That's why the entire species in the courts of heaven, when Jesus died on that cross, the whole species, past, present, and future, died in Christ. As far as God's concerned, the whole human race. You can't save it, can't fix it. See, and that answers the question of all the way back to Genesis. You know, I like how Mark taught that recently. If you didn't hear that message, he said, the moment that Adam took a bite out of that apple, it's like He stepped through a door. He left the life and the blessings of God and who he really was as a son of God. He left that and he took a step over into spiritual death through that door. And immediately that door closed behind him. He couldn't go back and open the door. He could not undo what had been done. By man came death. And in the courts of justice, God says, well, by man has to come life. God could not fix it. Answers that question. He said, well, you know, unbelievers and atheists, they said, well, couldn't God just forgive him? Well, actually, God did. You know, it says that he clothed them with animal skins. Well, what's that a type of? That's already pointing to the cross. It's pointing to the day that the Lamb of God is going to die and shed his blood. But the problem was way worse than forgiveness. Man was not the same anymore. Man had become a spiritually dead creature. His nature became twisted, sinful. He showed it one time to me in a vision. Now, I know Adam didn't really look like this, but compared to how he was before, in his spirit, he had become a monster. I saw it like he had three eyes and green skin and all humped over and slobbered coming out of his mouth. And, you know, just everything in the world you could think of that looked, you know, depraved. From God's point of view, that's what he is. See, that's why it answers so many questions. You know, like Moses. He says, God, just show me, let me see your face. He says, you can't see my face. You see my face, you'll die. That twisted, sinful creature can't exist. It can't live in the presence of God. It'll be, God is light, and man had become darkness. You can't coexist. You can't be. He says, I'll hide you in a rock. I'll let you see my hinder parts. Let you see my backsides as I go by, you know. That was the best God could do. And that's also why, then I understood later, why Jesus said, no man has ever ascended into heaven but him that came down from heaven. And I thought, well, what about Moses, Samuel, David, all the prophets, the Old Testament? Then I understood they loved God and served God the best they could, but none of them had been born again. None of them had a resurrected to new life. None of them had that life on the inside. And they were in the same, even though God loved them, and even though they loved God and served God, they had the same problem as Moses. They could not, darkness cannot exist. You ever try to have darkness and light in the same room? Won't work, will it? Won't work, see? They had to have that life of God. So, I know Jesus is divine. I know he is the third member of the Godhead. Now, go ahead, now that we saw this, go over to John chapter 1. And this is Christmas from the spiritual point of view. But he laid down that divinity because, boy, it plainly says there in 1 Corinthians 15, by man came death. By man came the resurrection of the dead. He laid down that divinity. He showed it to me one time like this, and I think it's the whole human race through Adam was seeded with death. You know what I mean by seeded? Every child born had that sin nature. The whole human race. And that's why no man born of Adam could be the Savior. Dave said it most eloquently that one time. He says, you cannot get a Savior from a spiritually dead gene pool. Nobody is qualified. Everybody had that same nature. To die is nothing because they... It might be noble of them to do it, but it still won't pay the price because they're just as dead as the guy they're dying for. So that's why I say Christ had to be born of a virgin. Because what God was doing, it's like he's looking down on planet Earth at all these millions of people. And all of them are spiritually dead. They've been seeded from Adam with death. Amen? But he wants life. So what does he do? Only God could think of this. Now, right here, my brain starts leaking out my left ear. You know, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all three, all one. So God becomes a man. God himself, by the power of the Holy Ghost, it's like the Father is reseeding the earth with a seed of life. It is. And if she had to be a virgin, that if that seed came from Adam, we're lost. He would not be qualified. That seed had to come directly from God himself. That seed had to be righteous and holy. And if I'm going to jump ahead right now, that's the same seed that came into you when you got born again. You quit putting yourself down. You quit letting the devil tell you you're the same old creature you were. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature in Christ Jesus. You have been born righteous and holy from the get-go. You devil casting out outfit you. You disease running off outfit. Sorry, was I preaching? I came to teach. I jumped into preaching. That's what happened. God seeded. He is reseeding the earth. That's the Christmas story from God's point of view. You talk about good news. No wonder the angels were singing. What man could not do. And the devil thought he had man in a box. I mean, they're all spiritually dead. Every generation, every generation, every generation. There's no Savior. There's no Savior. I've got them. I'll have them to the end. Oh, sorry. The devil thought he had mankind, but God was smarter than the devil. God says, I will package life in the form of my Son, and by the power of my Spirit, that life will be conceived in the womb of a virgin, and this child will be born who shall... By Adam came death, but by this man, comes a resurrection from death into new life. If you haven't found John, now look on with your neighbor here. God, I love this. Christmas is so more alive to me now than it ever was. Now that I understand the born again trail and what really has happened. So here we go. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. Now here in just a little bit it's going to say the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So we know who it's talking about. Now this life, here we go again. When I think about these things, my engineering brain starts leaking out my left ear. But this Word, this life here called the Word, the one we know as Jesus, that life didn't begin when Jesus was born. That life has always been. I know. So the Word, let me say it this way. The Word, in that form, the Word is God. It plainly tells you. The Word was with God. The Word is God, right? Well, God has no beginning. God has no end. Are you ready for this? Jesus had a beginning, but he has no end. This Word, I mean, he's existed. You know, he says, before Abraham was, I am. Amen? But he didn't exist as Jesus then. He existed as the Word then. So this same Word right here, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same one. Let's go on down. Just see, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. So he's been around a while. Without him was not anything made that was made. In other words, I'm trying to show you, he has always been. But he who has always been is changed now. And he has the form of a glorified man. And he will always have it for all eternity. Now, I like to sum it up this way. He's God. He's man. God has a belly button now. Think about it. He showed them after the resurrection. Did he not show them the scars? Well, this man was born of a woman. God in heaven, the third member of the Godhead, has a belly button. You talk about it. See, for me, that identifies with me so strong. This eternal Word who's always been. This great love he has for us and to identify with us, to actually take on our form and be glorified to the point. Now for all eternity to come, there'll never be an end. He's got a belly button now. He has so identified with us. He is so our Lord. He is so our Savior. He is so my High Priest. He is so my friend, my brother, my Savior, my everything. And it began on Christmas. Began on Christmas. Let's go a little more here now. See, verse 3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now notice, in him was what? In him was life. And that's what made him different from any other man ever born since Adam. Adam originally was born with life. You read the genealogy in, I think it's Luke chapter 3. And right at the end of it, it says, and so-and-so who was the son of so-and-so who was the son of so-and-so. And then it says, Adam who was the son of God. He originally had that life. Okay? Adam was not God, but Adam was a man made in the image of God. All right? But there was nobody else with that life. Generation after generation. Once Adam went from life to death, he basically got born again in reverse. He got born back into spiritual death. That's what Mark was talking about when he stepped through that door and the door disappeared and there was no way to undo what had been done. Another man had to come. Another man had to come and do this. Okay. Well, in him was life. Oh, God. We should have a worship service for about 4 hours right there. This is where I got it. This was the verse where it went off in me. Finally, I said, oh, my God. God is reseeding the earth with life. This was the only way it could be done. Mary had to be a virgin. If that seed in her was from the seed of Adam, it didn't have life in it. It had death in it. Man, I will fight to the death. I will fight on that mountain right there. Jesus was born of a virgin. I mean, they'll have to cut my head off before I'll deny it, you know. Amen. He was born of a virgin, or we're not saved. But he was and we is. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And the life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, John the Baptist. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Now he was not that light, talking about John the Baptist, but was sent to bear witness of that light. But that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world. Now, God, he was in the world, and the world was made by him. Do you ever think about it? He made the tree that the cross was made from. He knew the molecular structure. He knew, I made this tree so you could crucify me on it. We cannot understand the love of God yet. Isn't that something? He was in the world, and the world was made by him. The world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Oh, but here it is. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. How do you become a son of God? You believe on him. You believe on his name. Years ago, Sue and I were driving one of the times we were going to Houston to do some meetings down there. And at the, no, it wasn't. We were going to Florida, actually. We were going to Florida. And at that time, there was that real popular song, you know, we are the children of the world. Trust me, I'm not going to sing. But, and so every now and then you'd see this billboard. It was filled with faces. I mean, there's probably in that billboard, there was maybe 50 or more faces, and they're every color of ethnic persuasion you can think of. And it's, the caption was, we are all the children of God. And it sounded so right, you know. I mean, yeah, man. And I know they had good intentions or trying to build unity and all of that, you know. But then one day I was going through my Bible, and it says, for you are all the children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And I went, oh, my God. See, what they should, accurately, what they should put on there is, we are all the creation of God. But you are not God's child. You are not born of him unless you have faith. Like it says here, you become a son of God even to them that believe on his name. We could go to John 3:16 right there. You have to believe in. And I love the Amplified Version. I can't quote it exactly. Not just believe, have knowledge of Jesus. Believe in. Trust in. Rely on. Depend on him. However, it's not just, oh, I have knowledge that Jesus is the Son of God. No. Has he become your Lord? Has he become your Savior? Are you trusting in your own works? Are you trusting in him? He has to become your Savior. Glory to God. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood. In other words, it's got nothing to do with whether you're a child of Abraham now. Nor of the will of man, or the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh. Yeah, go back to verses 1 through 3 again. That same Word that's always been with the Father. Who is God? Here, I feel it again leaking right here. You know, he is God, but three. But one. But this one, nothing was made without him. He's always been there. Like Dave said, he's coming from forever and going to forever. Him. He has no beginning. But Jesus does. The man Jesus. He has no end. Neither do you. Neither do you. See, you, the child of God, you. The day you born again, we really should celebrate that as our birthday. Because that's who you are now. So I'm a lot younger. See? I'll be 66 next month in the flesh. But hey, I didn't get saved till I was 33. So I'm only 33 years old. Body, straighten up. Yeah, but really, the real me, the son of God, Gary, the child of God, Gary, I'm only 33 years old. Ain't I good looking? Anyway. Yes. Because take up an offering right here for her. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Now, for years, religion beat me up with that verse. Now that my dad's gone to heaven and I know he knows I told him the truth. It was my dad, you know. My dad loved God. I mean, he was a good Baptist daddy all the days of his life and a good provider, and he loved Jesus, and he'd sing. That he had a big old bass voice, you know, and man, he'd sing in the choir. But I'd try and talk to him about spiritual things, you know, and I'd go to Acts where Jesus said, "The works that I do, shall you do also, and greater than these shall you do, because I go to the Father," and he would say, "Only Jesus can do that." And I go, "But Dad, look, I got his Bible." I went and got his Bible. So I opened it up right there. I said, "But look, Dad, it says," I put his nose right down there, and it's, "The works that I do, shall you do also, and greater than these shall you do, because I go to the Father." And you look up, "Only Jesus can do that." But at the moment this was written, I mean, talking about Jesus, at that moment of his birth, he was the only light in a world of darkness. The whole species of man, of Adam, was darkness. And one seed, he is the only seed at that point, born of God, the only light, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now later on, after he's resurrected, he is called the firstborn, not the only born. He is the firstborn of many brethren. Hello, brethren. Hello, brethren. See? So, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Oh, you got that right. The true grace of God is amazing. Man did not deserve salvation. Man could not earn salvation. There was not, you didn't even have anything to bargain with. All of our righteousness was as filthy rags, you know. But God sending his Son, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now go to John chapter 8. I don't know what's coming regarding these two phrases here. I keep hearing it all the time. When I keep hearing it like that, it means he's not through yet. "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then later in the same book, he says, "I am the truth." Remember, he says, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." I keep hearing these two phrases, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Then I hear, "I am the truth." And I'm getting it. I'm getting it. It's not just a knowledge of the doctrine. Probably the single man that did me the most damage in my life was a university professor that I had. And this man knew the Bible. He was one of those that had a photographic mind. He would show off in class. He said, "Just, okay, open to any passage in the Old Testament anywhere and tell me where you are, and I'll start quoting it to you." And without anything, I mean, he could just quote it word for word, because he didn't memorize it. He was reading it off of his mind. As well, you know, people that have that photographic mind thing, he can just see it and read it. You know. But he knew the Word of God, but he did not know the God of the Word. And he did me so much harm. You know, it was like his mission in life was to shake genuine Christianity out of us and put Jesus on about the same place with Zeus and Mars, you know, and pagan gods, you know. So when Jesus says, you'll know the truth, I am the truth. There is an intimacy that sets you free by the power of the living Christ. That is more than doctrine. Now, I love doctrine. You know, this we are about right doctrine here. But doctrine alone. See, I could know all of the truth about Sue. Somebody could research Sue. That'd be a good thing for somebody to do. Sue and I just celebrated our 37th wedding anniversary, but our history really goes back almost 50 years. I mean, I first saw that woman in the summer between the 7th and the 8th grade. When the first time I ever saw her, I remember I got a little woozy. And I said, God, what hast thou wrought? What kind of creature is this? I mean, to this day, I can... I lose my train of thought. I get to think... But what if I hadn't ever lived with Sue? What if... I mean, somebody could research about Sue and tell me, well, Sue likes... See, I know that Sue likes Starburst. She doesn't really like chocolate. Other than that, she's perfect. I like chocolate. In other words, but there's all kinds of little things that you could research and know about Sue. Let's say we had a book of Sue as thick as our Bible. Here's the book of Sue. Perfect, accurate doctrine of Sue. Trust me when I say it. Now, you know I love my Bible. Trust me when I say going to bed with that book every night is not the same as going to bed with Sue every night. Can I say that in church? I hope I can. If I can't, take it out. It's not to have the book is wonderful, but to have the Savior is better. To know about Jesus is one thing. To live with Jesus is another thing. See? And he'll come. Yes, the truth will set you free. Notice where it says grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. He says, I am the truth. It's not just I bring you the truth. I am the truth. He's the one. That intimate knowledge. To know him. And actually, that word know there, you'll know the truth, is the same word that used in the Genesis when Adam knew his wife. And we're not trying to get weird. We're just saying it's a level of intimacy. The Holy Spirit could have chosen any word. Why choose that one? Because he's trying to show us it's a, you got to know him. That's why everything I love about this church, we teach about praying in tongues. See, to me, it doesn't get more pure than when I spend time praying in other tongues. Yes, sir. In the early days, somebody asked Pastor Dave. And this guy had children pretty young, and he was going, I want my children to pray, but I just can't get them to pray. He said, if I offered to pay them, you know, like a dollar an hour, would that be terribly wrong? You know, maybe if I gave them a dollar an hour, they might pray. Dave says, oh, no, that's great. Because it doesn't matter if they have wrong motives when they start. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is to cut away all those wrong motives. And eventually they'll come to the place where they'll pray in tongues because it's the right thing to do. Oh, yeah, it's fine. He said, it doesn't matter. That's what I love about praying in other tongues. It's one of the, I mean, I know it seems desperately dry while you're doing it. You know why it seems dry? Your understanding at that moment is unfruitful and it don't like it. It wants to be entertained. It wants to be in charge. It wants to be, you know. I always get the picture of like, again, if in the Old Testament, there was a Holy of Holies where only the high priest could go. Now, we have access. Well, see, our spirit man can walk right in there. And that's where the Holy Ghost is. So you've come, you're going to spend 2 hours in prayer. So here's the whole you, flesh, soul, spirit. You come right up to the Holy of Holies, bump. Your spirit goes in there and your soul goes, hey, how come I can't go in there? Well, you're messed up. This is a holy place, and your soul is not very holy, okay? But your spirit is recreated, and it can just go right on in there. But your mind, forget it. So it's like you got to pull up a chair. You're sitting outside. There's like a curtain here. You're sitting out here in a chair. Shandala bakusandale brastori andotora brastori kiando. And you don't, it says your understanding is unfruitful at that moment. But now your spirit is in direct communication with God the Holy Ghost. Direct communication. Your spirit is at, your soul is outside the curtain going, I wish I'd have brought Field and Stream. Nowadays I bring my iPod, my earbuds, you know. And it wouldn't matter. It wouldn't really matter as long as you keep praying. Because at that moment, what matters is the content that's being, those mysteries that are being prayed, see? That's why it seems so dry. But honey, once your spirit understands the revelation, the way I understand it, it's really your spirit that eventually comes to the curtain and goes, so, check it out. And suddenly you get a vision or you have a revelation. And boy, right then your soul, at that moment, your soul loves prayer. But it won't like it the next hour that you do it either. But to me, praying in tongues is one of the most pure. I know while I'm doing that, and even if my motives are wrong, I know that he will purge me of that if I continue, see? So I know that's a pure, intimate time I can spend with the Holy Ghost. It doesn't matter how it feels. What matters is the prayer that's being prayed and the understanding that's coming. Private worship was mentioned again today, very strong. Private worship. If there's no time of worship in your life other than church, I wonder what kind of life you have, you know? If there was no time of fellowship with Sue and I, and we both work hard. If you spend your time with us, you'll see that we're very busy with parents and grandparents and with the ministry and all of that. And we don't worship each other, but we spend time together. Remember when Lord made us have Sue Day? Remember that? Because we were just working. We'd be coming like two ships in the night. You know, hey, how you doing? Okay, I'm good. You know, and the intimacy was gone. And for a long time, he had us every Monday, 11 o'clock, from there on, shut the phone off, get out of the house. It's Sue Day. Meditation of the Word. Can you tell I've meditated some of this? I'll tell you, time will get away from you. You actually get in here and start meditating the Word of God. Man, in some of those battles in the Old Testament, I have meditated to where I'm in that thing. I mean, I can hear the clang of swords. I can taste the dust in my mouth from the horse's hooves. I mean, you're in that thing, and it'll take, you can lose hours. And boy, when that happens, you're ready. I mean, when you come out of there, you're different. You see things from a different perspective. Okay, I'm going to. Christmas. Thank God for Christmas. It's so much more than a little baby born in a manger. It's not just any baby. This was the Word, the eternal God, who became man to bring life to those who were dead. Glory to God. That's the real message of Christmas. That same life is what's seeded in you. The potential, unlimited. Your potential. I'll finish with this. Nearly everybody that first hears the message here and they hear Pastor Dave or they come to the prayer center, it's nearly always the same thing. I have a problem. Well, what's your problem? Well, I love God, but I can't hear God. And I need direction. I don't know what to do. So we'll say, okay. And we usually they want us to tell them what to do. They want to mentor them. Well, here's the mentoring. Oh, good. Here's a nice chair right here. We want you to epoxy your britches in that chair. And we want you to spend as much time as you can in prayer. And let the Holy Spirit begin praying the plan of God. There is a plan for your life. He doesn't intend for you not to know it. He intends for you to know it. So sit right there and pray. And I don't know how long it'll take, but you'll begin to hear God. But anyway, a few months goes by. They need another appointment. Knock, knock, knock. I have a bigger problem than I had before. What's your problem now? I heard God. And you're not going to believe what he's asking me to do. And I'm going, I probably will. Because he doesn't intend for you to do it in your strength. That's the big secret. That's what everybody forgets. He can afford it. He can empower you to do it. He has the plan. He has the Holy Spirit to guide you and lead you. Yeah, it's going to seem bigger than you. Otherwise, why would you need him?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, I got to quit. Father, we thank you for Christmas. Thank you for that child born in the manger.
Thank you that the Word, that eternal Word, was made flesh and dwelt among us. Father, your grace astounds me still. After all these years, Lord, it just astounds me, Father. I just thank you and I praise you, Lord. We all glorify your name. Thank you for the birth of our Savior. Thank you for the birth of Jesus, the light of the world. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen.